Don't change your friend group, but change your friend group.
You've been here all along. You've been here all along. You've been here all along. You've been here all along.
We back.
Hey, world.
Like we never left. We gotta work on the intro, bro.
I'm telling you.
All right, let's get into this episode,
bro. I'm about to say, by now, y'all should know, two episodes, one night.
Yeah.
We base.
We not dirty.
We're clean, man.
Let's go. What we got?
So today, we're gonna talk about, this gonna hurt somebody. I already know. Misconceptions of Christianity. Because in reality, a lot of y'all got God messed up. So we're gonna talk about it, bro. It's just so much going on that you could pick out this from, but I'm gonna just start with the social media aspect, because that's what, you know, most people that are watching, that's what they're gonna see daily, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody got Instagram, Twitter, whatever. There are a lot of people with a lot of influence. I'm gonna not just say celebrities, because not all, you know, influencers are celebrities, but there are a lot of people with a lot of influence that will claim Christianity. Mm-hmm. and they'll advocate big for it. They'll be a big God advocator. They'll be a big advocator for prayer. They'll be a big advocator for reading.
Yeah.
But they live a willful, notice I said willful, they live a life of sin. And this is, it's a honestly scary thing, because like I said, once you have so much influence like that, people listen. That's the whole job of an influencer. You market a product. That's why companies hire influencers. They want them to market a product in hopes that people who watch their page, people who follow them, will buy whatever, you know, they got on.
Yeah.
So if, you know, a person with a lot of influence is advocating for Christianity now, it has veered away from more of a way of life and veered more towards a trend. Like, the idea of Christianity has fallen out of religion and more into I'm a believe in God because everybody else is doing it. Mm. I'm a believe in God because it looks cute. I'm a post, I'm at the picnic reading my Bible because it looks cute.
Aesthetic.
And in reality, it's scary to think when you think of what the Bible actually says. Like when you see, I've become so accustomed to reading that everything I see now, like on earth, I think so far ahead, like, how is God gonna judge this?
Yeah.
How would God react to this right now? If I'm standing seeing him face to face right now, how would he react to this? So it's gonna be a lot of people, you know, like the Bible says, the people are gonna cry, Lord, we did all this in your name, and we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name. He's gonna say,
I never knew you. Yeah.
And the thing I see now is, like, you know, folk, y'all, even the ones that, you know, go to church faithfully, go to church every Sunday, you read the Bible, you pray, but your heart, the reason why, the way your heart is fixed, it's not congruent with the faith. Mm-hmm. See, Christianity is a religion, but we're saved by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. The faith part, that's what really sets you apart from everybody else.
Yeah.
What is your trust actually in? So I just went on a whole tangent, but I wanted to see, like, what your view is on, like, you know, just the amount of influence, like where do you see the world trending with Christianity as a aesthetic rather than, you know, people actually following after Christ?
Well, I've been in prayer, and really I've just been praying that I've been praying for our nation. Mm-hmm. I've been praying for the world that we return to that. We return back to the real place of like worship.
Yeah.
But just to hit on what you were saying, like the Christian trend or the Christian aesthetic, I think the problem with that is that like you were saying, like people will see celebrities do this, so now they want to become a Christian. Mm-hmm. We have to stop putting faces on Christianity other than the face of God. You know what I'm saying? There's yep. no face of Christianity mm-hmm. except Jesus. Mm-hmm. Kanye West isn't the face of Christianity.
Not Elevation Worship.
Not Justin Bieber. Not us. Mm-mm. Not your pastor. I'm sorry, but your pastor is not the face of Christianity.
Yep.
But Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's why Christianity has kind of become very aesthetic, trendy versus a real life of devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Is because people have become so infatuated with the faces of people and not the face of God.
Mm.
But it's just like, but like at the same time, the beauty in it is that like, okay, if they're only doing this because they see a celebrity doing this,
mm-hmm.
hopefully they develop like
hope, yeah,
that personal relationship with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully like your devotion to our faith, your devotion to Jesus isn't dictated by your favorite celebrity's devotion to the faith, because that could change really fast. But I mean, like, I just think that all believers, they just need to keep all, especially the new believers, like we need to just make sure, always check your heart posture.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that you're doing this for Jesus.
Right.
And not because it looks cool, because I have seen that a lot. Like a lot of people will post a picture of the Bible on Instagram, a Bible at the beach, just because it's so aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, no, like, where are the people who are really just the devoted people,
right?
Who really love Jesus, who really have a heart for God? So, yeah, I would just say like, to kind of dismantle the aesthetic of Christianity, we have to direct the people back to Jesus.
Yeah.
And to take the attention off of celebrities.
You know another thing, you know something I have respect for the old church for? They may have quote unquote the conceptions of what they teach may have been delivered wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
But something I can appreciate the old church for, they had standards. Them people lived. Most of the time, they lived whatever they talk about. Like, if you went to a holiness, you went to a deliverance church, and they sat you down because you wasn't living right, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you wasn't living right.
Yeah.
And they sat you down because they knew that you needed to get together, not just for the church purposes, for your own salvation, for your own life, for your own life after death. You needed to get right for you mess up, you know, for eternity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna say, because at the end of the day, you know, grace is sufficient, and you know, this new church, you know, you have people.
It's new church.
Yeah, I'm. You know, I gotta call it the new church because it's super new now. But you know, you have people who serve in capacities in the church that you know just aren't living right, and people know, but you know. Instead of sending them down, you know, nowadays we're used to, you know, loving them through it, stuff like that, which is, you know, which is cool. You know, you show the love of Christ and stuff like that. But you can't help but think, what if they never change? Yeah. Know what I'm saying? And if they do never change, like, you can't point no fingers. You can't. And I'm not saying like, people you choose faults, because at the end of the day, Christianity, Christ going to heaven, that's a thing that you work out with God, you and God yourself. You know, I heard, shout out to the Pew family, I love y'all, but Pastor Betty Haney, the Pew's grandma on their mom's side, she was talking to my brother. She said, you know, God ain't got no grandkids, because he was telling her how my dad a bishop and stuff like that. And she's like, "Well, are you saved, son?" And he was talking to her. He was like, "My dad a bishop and blah." She's like, "God ain't got no grandkids. That's good. Like, you gotta work this thing out for yourself." Mm-hmm. And the thing I've seen is that people have become so accustomed to only doing the bare minimum that they don't even know. That's the main problem. You talked about this before. Christian influencers or influencers in general make following Christ look so easy that people don't realize like the struggle, the suffering that goes behind it.
Yeah, I mean, because you have to, when you surrender to Christ, you have to understand what you're saying yes to. Mm-hmm. You don't just get to take part in the resurrection and to take part in the glorification without taking part in the suffering. Mm. We say yes to suffering.
Yeah.
Like we're joining, we're taking part of his suffering with him. And so like we have to get away from this cupcakes and cherries and this beautiful, perfect life. If you become a Christian, that's just not a reality. Like we with joy and with honor, we take part in his suffering. Mm-hmm. We do it with joy and with honor. Like it would be our honor to suffer for Christ. And I think that's the heart posture that a lot of new believers don't have. And I think that's a result of the Christian aesthetic,
the misconception.
Yes,
that's you, perfect segue into what I was talking about next. We have to touch on like I'm gonna just be direct, like these rappers, these people you just know ain't living right? These big celebrities you just know ain't living right. You know they're not. But you know, they'll go up to the Grammys or they'll go up to the Oscars or they'll go up to whatever award show, and the first thing they say when they get their award, first of all, I just wanna give all honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to thank God.
Yeah, but bro, that's another thing. Like with athletes, with like celebrities, like they do it just because people do it. Just because, like we said,
religion.
Not even religion, but just because it's become like that aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like that routine of like when I win an award, like everybody says this, so I have to say it. But like that's the thing. Like I want people to stop saying the name of Jesus as if it's just some ordinary thing.
Yeah.
Like this isn't ordinary. Stop treating Jesus like he's ordinary.
Right.
Like he's to be feared.
Right.
And he's to be revered. Like right. we're to fear him and we're to reverence him. So like don't go up on stage and don't call him, I don't want people to take this out of context. Nah. Because he is the savior of the world.
Right.
But don't call him your personal savior if you've rejected his salvation.
Exactly. Don't include him.
Just to make your image look better. You're taking advantage.
Don't mention his name if your life is not reflective of him.
Because that's the danger, because then you make people think that they could live like you
and still go to the misconception.
No, so that's just not true.
Yes. And I want to make that point clear. Like people wonder, okay, let's start with the Christian. People wonder, you know, even these people, you know, they do what they want. They go to the club, they get drunk all night, they smoke all the weed they want to, do all the drugs they want to, but you know, they love God, they read their Bible, they pray, so you know, they're gonna go to heaven. Hell is still real as can be.
Me too.
Hell is still real as can be. And let me tell you something. The wages of sin is still death. It don't matter what comes out of your mouth. If you live in a willful life of sin, the wages of sin is still death. So
and don't, just because you say I thank God doesn't mean that you are in right standing with him.
Because Christianity has nothing to do with your words. It has all to do with your heart.
Faith without works is
dead.
Yeah.
So that's one side of it. Now, this the other side of it, and this is more towards non-believers, right? So there's a side that says them people, you know, they do what they want, whatever, whatever. They're still going to go to heaven. They're not. I'm letting you know right now, they're not. But then there's the side of, well, you know, these people don't serve God, but their life doesn't seem to be having any issues. You know, if I've been quote unquote serving God and I've been suffering this whole time, but these people over here, they looking like they having the time of their life, and you know, they don't claim God at all. Let me tell you something. The devil never tempt who's already his. The devil doesn't give temptation to who's already his. Just like the story of Job. It says Job was, you know, he was an upright man. Mm-hmm. He was perfect in the eyes of God. And the devil went to God and was like, let me get him. I bet you I could get him. But he couldn't get him. But let me tell you, the devil will go to people. The devil, he won't have to go to God. He'll just go straight to people. And people actually, this is real. People will sell their souls out to Satan. They'll live for Satan, and their life will be just fine. Their life will be just fine. You know, they reject God. They reject Christianity. They reject the faith. They don't want nothing to do with it. And, you know, their life on earth will look perfect. But you as a believer have to think, what would their life look after death? What would their life look when we all leave this earth? Because it's bound to happen. We all got the day. But what will it look like, you know, when the rapture comes? What will judgment day look like for them? So you can't get caught up in this, you can't get caught up in the pleasures of the world and lose out on Jesus. The Bible says, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He profits nothing. So that's another part, I think, of the concept of just like God in general. Like, what do you think?
I just kind of wanted to say this, like, even with like the Christian aesthetic, mm-hmm. like we touched on like the people, like the Christian aesthetic of like celebrities who say, oh, I thank God, or like the people who post pictures of their Bible at the beach. But I also want to touch on this real quick. The danger of the Christian aesthetic sometimes is that sometimes it's actually good, in a sense of like the Christian aesthetic is like doing service, mm-hmm. like going to feed the homeless.
Right.
Doing the right thing. Like, because in the book of Revelation 2, mm-hmm. It's talking to the church of Ephesus. And it's saying they're doing the right things, like they're calling out false teachers. Mm-hmm. They're doing acts of service, which is a good thing. But then it says the one thing that they're missing is that they've gotten away from their first love, which is Jesus.
Mm.
And I think so many people have become so caught up with the acts of the faith,
mm-hmm.
that we've missed out on the foundation of the faith, which is Jesus. So many people have become so caught up in the aesthetic, mean like the good parts of the aesthetic, like, all right, let me go feed the homeless. Let me go take care of the widows, stuff like that. And that's a good thing. But you're doing it all in vain if your priority and if the devotion of your heart and if the desperation and the longing and the yearning of your heart is not for Jesus.
Right.
So that's the other thing. So like, I think, for all the new believers and even the seasoned believers, like, mm-hmm. I think we always just have to be aware, like, okay, like, all right, I'm doing this. My Bible tells me I should do this, but why am I doing this? Am I doing this from a place of love? Am I doing this from a place of first love for Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just doing this because it looks good? It fits the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's the thing. Like, we have to stay near to Jesus so we can be able to discern, like, all right, because like that's the thing, bro. Like, some things actually look good and they actually look like they're of God,
mm-hmm.
but God might not be in it.
Mm.
Like, it could be so many church services and stuff like that. You could go to a church service and the worship, because it could be good and the preacher might even preach a good message, but it's just like, was the Lord really in this? Was the presence of the Lord really in here? Because aesthetic, it looks so good sometimes, bro. But like, we have to get away from that place of aesthetic and really just that place of really like knowing and discerning the presence of God.
Yes, yes.
Because there will be a season where the Lord, I'm sorry, I get Pentecostal sometimes. There will be a season where the Lord might come in something that doesn't fit the Christian aesthetic, might come in something that doesn't look like what we've become used to or what we've become acclimated to, what we think is Christian. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing about Jesus. Jesus didn't fit the aesthetic of the Messiah.
Yep.
And that's why the Pharisees missed out.
Yep. Yes.
Because they were so caught up in the aesthetic. Oh, look what I'm doing. Look, I'm fasting. Like, they want it to be seen. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says we're to do that stuff in secret. If you're fasting, go wash your face and come out and look like you're not fasting. You better not tell anybody. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord blesses what we do in secret.
Mm.
So it's just like, I just want to encourage people not to get so caught up with the aesthetic, not to get so caught up with the routine and the religion of Christianity, but this has been my prayer. I literally wrote this down in my notebook today. Like, my prayer is to be caught up in the person of Jesus.
Mm.
That's it. I literally just want to be caught up in the person of Jesus, and everything I do will overflow from that place. It will flow from that place. So if you see me doing an act of service or something, it's not flowing from a place of like wanting to fit the Christian aesthetic. No, it's flowing from a place of like, I love the Lord and I feel like the Lord is telling me to do this. I love the Lord. I know his character. I know he would do this. So I'm going to do it because I just want to follow Jesus. And I just wanted to say that.
All right. So two things that you just touched on that I want to go back to. Yep. One, when you talked about the seasoned saints, because you know, most of the stuff we're referring to is with, you know, babes in Christ. But it's important that you mention the seasoned saints, because especially in this day and age, it's so easy for us to get caught up too. And it's so easy for us to, you know, we've been in church so long that we become so accustomed to church. It's easy for us to just become so accustomed to religion, the routine of it, that we end up missing God in the end because we got so caught up in the acts. And that's the frightening part about becoming complacent, about becoming comfortable. You have to be careful of where you become comfortable, because if you become too complacent at the wrong time or for the wrong reason, you will end up missing God. You know what I'm saying? And the second thing was what you said about Jesus. Jesus, he didn't, fit what they thought the Messiah was supposed to look like. And God told me this one time. I almost was judgmental. I wasn't. I was almost judgmental. And he was like, you're going to miss my message by judging the optics of the messenger.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I got the same rush of chills I just got now when he said that to me. Cause I was like, bro, God can and will.
He can use a donkey.
Use anybody.
A donkey.
He will use anybody.
He's done it.
He will legit use anybody. Like, he will use anybody, anything, just to convey a message. And some people can miss out on their biggest breakthrough of their life. The thing they've been praying for, they can miss out on it just because it doesn't look like
God. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to be able to discern God.
Yeah.
I've probably heard, like, honestly, I have a friend who's not saved,
mm-hmm.
and I've probably heard God through him a lot more than I've heard God through a lot of saved people.
Yeah.
And that's just the fact of the matter, bro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because they'll preach to you, bro, and they won't even know it. But God is just funny like that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to be able to discern God. So mm-hmm. this is why, like, my message to y'all is to like know Jesus and not Christianity, the religion,
right?
But know Jesus Christ. Know Christ mm-hmm. more than you know Christianity.
Yeah,
and it'll change your life, because God isn't everything, and you want to be able to discern that, because he can literally talk to you, like we were saying, through anything, through anyone, and you don't want to discount certain people just because discount or discredit certain people just because like they don't fit the image. And like, I it's funny because my cousin called me the other day. He was like, bro, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me this. And then you'll never believe who called me and told me this. He was like, this person called me and told me this. The person who called him is just like, bruh, ain't no way. And we were just surprised, because God would use that person to confirm what he was already telling them.
Mm.
And it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, God can use anybody. So, like, we need to get away from the aesthetic. We need to get away from all these misconceptions. The fact of the matter is Jesus can come through anything, and he comes through the people who are willing. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of people, like, that's the thing. A lot of the broken people, a lot of the people who are often, like, shunned in the faith, those are the people that the Lord would often use a lot of the times, bro.
Yep, yeah, facts, yep.
And that's because
rejected.
Yep, and that's just because, like, although they might have a crazy past, there's still just like a honesty, a transparency, and a purity about them. Like, they're not perfect, but they're still pure. Why? Because, like, they're honest with the Lord.
And if you miss them because you're being judgmental, God is going to have to deal with you on that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people in church will push away people that don't fit their church's aesthetic. And you're going to have to take that up with God.
And I would hate to be in that position, because the Bible says he resists the proud, bro. And when I read that, it's just kind of like, all right, he resists the proud. But then I think about the gospel. It's like a lot of proud people, a lot of judgmental people, they might go through seasons in their secret place where they're like, Lord, like, why aren't you sitting with me? And then I thought about this one time. The only time we see our Savior sitting with someone is when it's with the sinners.
Yeah.
So a lot of judgmental people and a lot of proud people are like, Lord, like, I've been praying to you, but I don't feel your presence. Like, why won't you sit with me? It's because you like the honesty. You like the transparency. The Lord loves our honesty. He loves our he loves our brokenness. And I hate to break it to you, but our brokenness does not fit the aesthetic. Our brokenness is incongruent with the aesthetic of perfect Christianity, because we're not perfect people, and the Lord never asked us to be perfect people, but he asked us to be a pure people.
Hey, and I wanna, there's this thing floating around, and it pricks me when people say it, because it sounds good, but when you think about the optics of it, it's, when I take being saved, every time I come into contact with someone that's not saved, I take it as an opportunity to minister. So, you know, there's this thing about, you know, when you get saved and then you have to, you know, find a new group of friends or you know, stop hanging around the same people you used to hang around, which has this truth to it. But this is a different side of it. And this is the side I want to come from, or I just challenge you to see it like this. Instead of, you know, changing your whole friend group, the stuff y'all used to do before you got saved, you don't have to do that no more. But you don't have to cut off all your friends just because you got saved. Every time you go and hang out with a friend that's
planting a seed,
after you be a minister, do what God called you to do. Try to lead them to him the same way you being led.
Don't change your friend group, but change your friend group. Don't change them literally. Like, you don't have to cut them off. Don't change the people you're around. Don't get me wrong, there are times where you might have to, but like, there are times where God has called you to be in that place. I think I said this in one of the first episodes, like, when Jesus sat with the sinners, like, he wasn't conforming, but they were being transformed. And Jesus is our blueprint.
Woo!
So when we go around our friends who aren't saved, like, why are you so proud that you have to cut off the people that God has called you to? Don't change your friend group, but change your friend group. Allow change, allow transformation to hit their lives because you didn't leave. Because that's what sinners look for. They look for a consistent person. They look for somebody who's with them no matter what.
No matter what, ride or die.
And that's what the Lord is trying to reveal to them, that he's with them no matter what through you. But if you leave, where's the willing vessel? Yeah. So, I'm done, bro. I don't have anything else to say.
Nah, we can end on that. That's one of the best quotes I've heard all year.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit was in this episode.
Don't change your friend group.
But change your friend group.
Change your friend group.
We have so many clips from this. All right, y'all, I'm out.
Last thing, bro.
Yeah.
With all that we said, I know, like, some of it can be like hard to hear because you know you're naturally human. You don't want to think some of it is true, but at the end of the day, harden out your heart. You know, open your ears, because I'm not just saying this to be like prideful, I guess, or like I'm always right. I just know that I'm going to speak the truth because that's what I've been called to do. Yeah. We're going to speak the truth because that's what we've been called to do. And the truth isn't meant to sound good. The truth isn't meant to make you feel good. The truth is meant to change you.
Transformation.
Yeah, the truth will set you free. Like, that's literally, it's meant to change you. You're not meant to like the truth. You don't have to like the truth. But don't miss out on God because of his truth. So I want to encourage you to just take into account anytime you hear truth, not just from us, but from anybody, you know, take heed to it and become better because of it. You know, don't reject it because it's not what you think. Just accept it because it's the truth. And don't change your friend group, but change your friend group. God dang, that's the best junk I done heard, boy.
That's all, Jesus.
Episode 5. Or no, this 6.
It's 6.
I'm tired. It's like 11:30.
Yeah, I'm about to go to bed.
Yeah. I'll see y'all.
Love y'all. Peace.